Bibles, Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10. Anthony doing any better? No, you pray for him. So, Luke chapter 10, let's just begin with verse 25, and just a great account, and let's just, Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Wait till I hear pages stop turning, and it's a beautiful sound. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer. So let me just explain this as we go through. A lawyer. We talk lawyers today. It would be someone that is a student. They've been licensed by our government, and they're to have a law degree. But in this time, a lawyer was a doctor of the law of God. And so we're talking a Pharisee, a scribe, and so these would be doctors of the law. They and this is never a good word, but I'll tell you what they did. They prided themselves. I don't think pride has any place when we truly understand what it is. But they prided themselves on being experts at God's word. So that's what this lawyer is. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He, Jesus, said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So he asked this quote-unquote expert of the law of God. He says, what does the law say? Verse 27, and he, answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he, Jesus, said unto him, this might shock some of you, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. Verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, this is back to the lawyer, back to the doctor of the law. He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives him a story. And Jesus answering said, a certain man. Now, I love this. I'm going to give you a little background here. Jesus is going to bring in a Samaritan to this story, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews as well. So I've mentioned this, I think, on Sunday night. I can't remember who I talked to half the time. So it's but a Samaritan was a mixed Jew-Gentile, you know, half Jew, half Gentile. So the Jews, incorrectly so, they separated themselves from the Gentiles, and they had a disdain, hatred to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. Well, there was only one people that the Jews hated worse. That was people that a Gentile and a Jewish person that married, and they were called Samaritans. All of it's evil. You understand this. It's all wrong, sinful, and so anti-Bible. I want you to understand this. It's evil, but boy, the devil loves people to hate one another and to divide us, and so he did. So, you know, in Israel, you have three provinces. The southernmost is Judea, Samaria's in the middle, and Galilee. Did I say Judea's on the bottom? Judea? I don't. Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Jesus was born, raised in Galilee, in Nazareth. He was born in Judea, in Bethlehem, and then Jerusalem's also in Judea. Well, the Jews hated the Samaritans so much, they would go around Samaria. And, you know, their transportation wasn't like going to 275 belt. Take you 5 or 10 minutes, right? It was, we've got a long journey ahead of us that might add, you know, maybe half a day to a day to your journey. They hated the Samaritans so much. And so what I love is the good guy in this story, because this is Jesus, is the Samaritan. Because Jesus, when he tells a story, he's got a infinite reasons why he tells a story, but he's also poking at sinful prejudices and biases. But now, what I love, I get excited because a certain man. Now, you know the certain man, it's a 99.99% chance it was a Jew. And so he doesn't say a Jew. He just says a certain man. But then he names the Samaritan. And when you get there, I'll give you the punchline, but in a second. You're going to see that when Jesus said, who was the neighbor? That this lawyer, right, this doctor of the law, couldn't lower himself, which really wouldn't be lowering, but couldn't lower himself to say, it was the Samaritan that was the good neighbor. He just said, the one that showed mercy. He didn't want to say Samaritan. And you got to love Jesus. Jesus gives this story, and we're going to try to understand, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? And it's going to be glorious when we see it. Look at verse 29 again. But he, this doctor of the law, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. The wine would be like a disinfectant, and pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the doctor of the law, this lawyer, he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Look at it again, if you will. Just title the message, nothing fancy, just the Good Samaritan, Good Samaritan. I'm going to tell you, here, look at verse 25. I want to tell you, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Give me the word tested. I think it's usually when the Pharisees, they were trying to trip Jesus up. And tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? I want to just show you, the first thought I have is looking for salvation in doing. This lawyer, he said this, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? We're going to help you explain Jesus' response. And it's very similar. I'll give a brief summary. Matthew chapter 19, if you're not familiar with this particular account that Jesus gives, you should go back and do it. There's this young ruler, and he's rich. And he comes up to Jesus, look at Matthew 19 on the screen. And behold, there one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do? Very similar question. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus is basically telling this man as well. Understand this, when Jesus said, what does the law say? The man said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. It's really what the Ten Commandments do. The Ten Commandments are split. The first 4 commandments are toward God. The last 6 commandments are toward man. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not create unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then the last 6, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not, did I already say commit adultery? I know this is in the right order. And what did I do? Steal? 10. Did I say covet? Anyway, there's 6. Bear false witness. My wife, here, come on up here. No, I'm just kidding. It is the last 6 are toward man. And here's what Jesus said. I'm going to shock you. Phoebe, if you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is keep the 10 commandments. True or false? That's true. I know you guys are like, I knew we shouldn't come here. Here's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person that can keep his commandments. All that Jesus did is, this guy said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what does the law say? I want to show you that Jesus, when he, this rich young ruler said, Jesus said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he asked Jesus, which ones? Thought he had a shot. And Jesus lists the Ten Commandments, but he leaves out the one that thou shalt not covet. And Jesus says, if you will be perfect, go back to Matthew 19, that's what he says, because perfection's required for heaven. And Jesus says later, it's impossible with men. You can't make yourself perfect. Only Christ can make you righteous. Only Christ can remove your sins and impute his righteousness into your life. And then you have the righteousness of Christ. It has nothing to do with you. This is not a cooperative. This is not you and Jesus. This is Jesus and Jesus alone. I had a young lady, a friend of Jalea, was with us Monday night. So I just make sure of that. So I had two ladies. I'll meet with two ladies. And you tell me this, Jalea. You can say yes. When the young lady left, I looked at her and I said, I want you to understand this, because all we got covered was for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. 90 minutes, bang, bang, pounding on sin. And so she was getting it, but I looked at her and I said, I want you to know this is something for you to chew on. You are evil, you are wicked, you are vile, and there's not one ounce of goodness in you. Did you understand what I said? And you got to understand, I mean, I wanted her to grasp this. I said, that's why you need Jesus Christ, because you're that bad. And I said, I know those words are so strong, but I said, it's true. And I said, you've spent your whole life trying to be good. And I said, you seem like a nice young lady. And I said, you know, compared to everybody else, you might get a prize. But you don't get eternal life for that. You understand this. Jesus, he is dealing with this lawyer. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because this is the real answer. Verse 28, John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. It gives God the credit. That's why we can't boast about our faith. You understand that? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. I want to tell you this. Jesus is not preaching anything different this morning. What he's doing is he's dealing with this guy who thought he was good. Understand this? He doesn't even question that he loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He goes, who's my neighbor? Want to make sure I'm good on that, because I know I'm good on that loving God thing. What? He's as delusional as the rich young ruler. Who was with me on Wednesday night? Who was that with the door with me? Oh, it was Cy and Alex, right? Was it you guys? Remember the old guy? Now, this is so funny. He was older than me, right? 100%. You know, I don't look in the mirror that often, so I'm about to get another haircut, because whenever I have to fix my hair more than once a day, time. And so tomorrow. Anyway, I just don't, right? I mean, I actually caught a glimpse of me in the mirror the other day, and I said, whoa, that guy's not that youthful man that I'm thinking I am. And so he was older than me. So when I say old guy, right, I just felt better that I ran into somebody that was older than me. He was so insistent, wasn't he, that he was good. Now, Alex has heard this forever. It's the first time he's gone out door knocking. I'm thrilled you were there. Thanks, Q, for influencing him to get him here. It's good, right? That's how we help one another, right? It's just good. So Alex, when they're walking away, he goes, you've always said that. He said, you will tell us that all people do is they say they're good. And this guy, he was more insistent than most. Because when he said, I said, well, if you don't die tonight, why should God look at him? And he said, well, I'm a good person. And I said, does the Bible ever shock you? And he goes, no. I wanted to say, well, you must not be reading it, because it's shocking. And he held on to his goodness. And I know these guys, you don't have to be, you know, eternal damnation's real. I wasn't trying to be a jerk to this guy. He may have felt this way. And I looked at him and I said, I want you to at least know there's one Baptist preacher that believes what the Bible says, and your goodness is only going to get you in trouble. It's not going to get you right with God. Goodness never erases badness. Goodness will never erase our sin. But I will tell you, that's what most people think. And, you know, this your friend. I asked Julia, I said, because her friend's not here today. I wouldn't have brought up that story if her friend was here. But her friend's not here today, and I said, was it a rough Monday? Because we met Monday night at 6. And she said, no. You say, why would you do that, Steve? Because I want people's little gears to go in their mind. And I want you to understand, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. No, not one. We have to understand that. And what Jesus is doing, he's not preaching a new way of salvation here. What he's doing is he is challenging this man. And when he gives the story about the Samaritan, he's like, oh, you want to love your neighbor? It's not just a geography. It's not just like, I got a Jew there, a Jew there, a Jew across the street, a Jew across the street, a Jew across the street. I can love them. He said, oh no, it's whoever I bring into your life. That's your neighbor. And Jesus brings something to his heart that says, not them. The rich young ruler, the Bible says, left sorrowful, for he had many riches. There's no indication that this lawyer said, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm going to struggle big time, help me, Jesus. Because what it says here is it says, the work of God is that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling this man here. That's why we must lovingly and kindly tell people the truth, help them understand it's not our works that save us. This is not Jesus plus me. This is faith in Jesus alone. He's the only way. That message, you think it's so simple. You may get tired of hearing it from me, but the world needs that message. I'm glad people are nice. I'm glad people are trying to be kind, but that is not going to give them eternal life. And that's what they're banking on. It's so unbelievable. 90%+ of people I talk to do not grasp that truth. And we, Christian, if you're a Christian, who are you telling? Who are you telling? Second thing I want you to see, Jesus uses the law. He uses the law. Look at verse 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? You know, if I were Jesus, I would say, well, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin and faith in me if I was Jesus. Because I'm the only one. I'm going to take your punishment, your eternal damnation. I will die. My body will die. And I will rise again on the third day. I would have preached the gospel instantly. But Jesus knew the heart of this man. And we need to take note. You've really got to deal with people and their sin. Do they understand? Everybody wants heaven. Everybody wants eternal life. But I'll tell you, you've got to grapple with your sin. And Jesus did. He takes him to the law. He says, what is written in the law? And the man, he summed up the Ten Commandments pretty well. Because Jesus said, thou hast answered right. Verse 28. This do and thou shalt live. You see, the purpose of the law isn't to show us how to get to heaven. Purpose of the law, here's what it says. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things the law saith. Let's just simplify it, the Ten Commandments. It says to them who are under the law, understand this, every single person, when you were born under the law, under the judgment of the law. That's why Jesus had to be born of a human, so that he would be born under the law, and then he would perfectly fulfill the law, because many of you know this, in order to go to heaven, you have to be a perfect law keeper. And you can't do it, but you need the perfect law keeping righteousness from Christ. He was born under the law. Every one of us were born under the law. When you're saved, that doesn't mean you're above the law, but you're no longer under the condemnation, no longer under the judgment of the law. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That, one of my favorite words of the Bible, it tells us why. What's the law? What was the purpose of the law? that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God's intent is that you would see yourself as undone. You would see yourself as unworthy. You would see yourself as says, I can't keep the Ten Commandments. I walked this older gentleman through the Ten Commandments. I said, have you ever lied? Walking through multiple commandments. I mean, it's, you know, and he said he never disobeyed his parents. And I didn't say anything. I just skipped it, and I just thought, oh, this is going to be a tough one. He was fighting his goodness. And he could kind of see where I was going. I was going to, you know, well, you've just broken four. He told me this. All men go like, yeah, right. He told me, I said, you ever committed adultery? He goes, no. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. You ever committed adultery? And he said, never. Right? Right, guys? And I know my standard answer, I gave it. These guys were at the door, probably not good from the pulpit. I said, are you gay? And he said, no. And I said, then you've lusted. And if you were gay, I guess you'd lust after guys. And but he was so fighting his goodness. You understand this? It is this. What you must understand is only Jesus. And I don't remember, guys, I don't remember if I asked him this or not. I don't think I did. Why did Jesus come then? Because he claimed Jesus after I mentioned him. And I told him, I said, you know, my concern is that when I ask you why you should go to heaven, you never mentioned Jesus until I did. I said, if you really understood why you are going to heaven, it has nothing to do with you. All you talked about was your goodness and your righteousness, and you refused to admit that you're a sinner. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came because he's the only way. He's not an option. He's the only way. Jesus uses the law because he wants this man to understand you can't keep it. He's not teaching a new way of salvation. If you get into this passage and you don't understand that, that can be challenging, can it not? He's just doing the same thing he did in Matthew 19. He's walking this lawyer through and says this, you can't keep it. Jesus didn't even challenge him. He said, have you truly loved God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? I tell people all the time, you know this, the word sin means to be good means to be morally perfect. Sin is missing the mark. Have you had a morally perfect 24 hours? Have you perfectly loved God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? The answer is no. We should not be excited about that. We should submit to that, oh Christian. But I'll tell you this, we better be glad that it's not a requirement that we are sinless even after we're saved. It's not. And so Jesus uses the law. We need to use the law. And it doesn't always have the impact that we think it will. It didn't appear to have that impact on that older man, but at least I got to share the gospel with him. I wanted to challenge him that says, there's one Baptist preacher that's concerned for your soul. It's not your goodness. You say, that is so crazy that you would do this for a guy you've never met. I'll probably never see him again. And if eternal damnation's real, isn't that pretty serious? Be nice. Be nice. Eternal damnation is serious. Third thing I want you to see is the lawyer sought to justify himself. That Jalea's friend, right? I do that sometimes. And so I do that because I want to, if I can, I want Jalea, I mean her friend, to stop trying to justify herself. You see, Steve, I'm a pretty good person. God doesn't grade on a curve. The lawyer sought to justify himself. Look at this in verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I'll tell you, this ought to terrify you, because here's what this lawyer, this doctor of the law, wanted to know. He said, well, you just tell me, what is the minimum requirement that I need to obey this so I can have eternal life? I'm not really interested in loving everybody. I'm just interested in what is required so that I can pass the test. And you tell me, who is my neighbor? And the conclusion blew him away. It's everybody and particularly those that you that come into your life, and particularly those that you don't like. All this lawyer was interested in is, give me the rules. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. And I'll get on with my life. Plenty of religions that'll have you do that. Christianity is all about one person, Jesus Christ. It's not about the rules. Not about the rules. I know this. When you're saved, you want to honor Him. And sin suddenly becomes different. You don't. You still sin, but it affects you differently. It affects you differently. But I'm just challenging any Christian in this auditorium this morning. You just want to do the least, basics, whatever's required. I just want to go to heaven. I kind of want to live my own life. That's this man, and this man's lost. It should concern you. Because I'm telling you, salvation is all or nothing. You're either saved or you're lost. And I know this. I know. Oh, Christian, what makes us doubt is our sin. Do you want to be all in, or do you just want to do the minimum requirements? There are no requirements for heaven. Good news. Except faith in Jesus Christ. You don't get to heaven by doing anything. But I'll tell you this, when you're saved, what I read in the Bible is that He changes you and you want to serve Him. You just don't want to do the least possible and then just kind of scoot on by. If that's your perspective, I have concern for your soul. I can't know your heart. But the average person sitting in Baptist churches, let's just speak about Baptist churches. They're doing, again, I tell you, they go to church. Trying to do bad things, and they give a little. That's the Pharisees. They were lost, religious, full of themselves. This man sought to justify himself. I'm telling you this, I fear in Baptist churches across America, across this world, people are trying to justify themselves and said, I'm fine, I'm okay, I don't like that preacher. You know, he's just pressing me too much. A lot of pressure. I'm not trying to press you. I'm just trying to make sure you understand this. When Jesus saves, did He change you? And I know this, I've got to constantly submit every day. It's one of the things that I love about getting older, and everybody that's been older here and they've been saved a while, they'll tell you this, listen, just listen. Is there any Christian today, any Christian, older Christian, Brother Lee, you say, you know, I wish I'd served Him less. You wish? Sister Carla, you wish? You wish you'd served Him less? I love Don. We were golfing yesterday, And it was good, and he got to just share with Q his testimony just briefly. So joyful that you've trusted in Christ so young. You wish you'd known Christ 40 years ago, Don. Oh yes, you do. Raised your kids differently. Now I love where you're at. You can't undo that, can you? You just got to trust in God, right? God's a big God, Don, okay? Don't you fret about yesterday, okay? But I love this. You tell every young person you meet, don't be like me. Trust in Christ. You're here and you just go, you know, can you finish? And maybe it's because it's a bad day. Do you just want religion? I'd be concerned if I were you. That's all this lawyer wanted. Just tell me who's my neighbor. Now, quickly, I'm going to blow through this because that clock's messed up. You guys did something to that clock. Jesus uses a story. He uses a story. Tons about Jericho. Super interesting. Jericho is one of the lush places. So you got Jerusalem that's well above sea level, and you got Jericho that's well below sea level, and it was lush. It was in the Talmud it said there were more priests in Jericho than there were in Jerusalem. It was kind of the resort town that they'd go to. So Jesus, he talks about this, and just look at this. I want to show you this. He uses religious people. And look at verse 31. Well, look at verse 30. Just to remind you, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And if Jesus would have paused, they would say, oh, of course, the priest. I mean, and look, I want to tell you this. I'm just a man like you, but I agree with this. I'll be held more accountable if I do wrong than you. Do you understand that, Sean? I'll be more accountable if I do wrong than you. Because my influence is wider. And I am supposed to be, I know these terms are terrifying to me, a man of God, walking with the Lord and loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the more you get to know me, the more you realize I'm better than him. It's not a competition. But I will tell you this. If I'm right with God, and I have the privilege of being in the Bible a lot more than you guys. Either this is fake or it's real. You see, you understand that? I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about a priest. I'm talking about, this is either real or it's fake. And I'm telling you this, I'm terrified that he could say, and Steve passed by, and I had a million excuses, Lord. I loved Maram's testimony this morning. Fighting it. And then finally we submit. But I will tell you that it should be expected that a preacher is different. But I think we all should stop. The priest didn't, the Levite didn't. They're all part of the tribe of Levi. The priest just had some specific responsibilities and the Levites did all the other work. So they're just a delineation, but they're both religious people. It's interesting, the Levite, did you notice this wording? Look at verse 32, it says the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. So it sounds like the priest just kind of like, It looks like the Levite came and said, whoa. He's dead, or half dead, right? He looked on him, and it says looked on him, and he passed on the other side. You got to love the Samaritan. Look at this. Just read it, and I'm going to give a few summaries. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. We need to love our neighbors with compassion, care, and coins. But here, let me tell you this. Here's what 1 John chapter 4 says. This is frightening. If a man say, I love God, and everybody tells me I love God. This lawyer said he loved God because he never even questioned it. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, this man, by the inference of the story, hated the Samaritans. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So this Samaritan, we call it the Good Samaritan. This Samaritan, I have three things I want you to see. He loved him with compassion. Remember this, compassion. Compassion is pity in action. You see a need and you do something about it. Who is our neighbor? Whoever God brings into our life. And we've got to stop fighting it. I'm telling you, I wish you all could have heard the testimony of Maram. And Maram, I know this, it wasn't about you, it was about God. It was about how much God cares. And it's just crazy that it fits so well into this message this morning. We fight it. But when we give in, we'll find out that God's bigger than us. We need to have enough compassion that we'll go and help people. Help them tangibly, but ultimately take the gospel with you. Helped him with care. He bound his wounds. He gave him some medicinal help. He set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an end. Compassion, care, and then he spent some money and coins. I'm not talking about that offering box. I'm just telling you this. If we're going to represent Jesus well, we ought to be known of a people to be compassionate, caring, and that we'll put our money where our mouth is and we'll help people. This man did something I've never done. He said, whatever the bill, I'll make it right. Terrified to give somebody a open check, unsigned, and say, whatever it is, I'm in. That's a man that loved God Because there's no way you'd love your neighbor as yourself like that if you didn't love God. Jesus isn't talking salvation by works, but what he's talking about is, you want to represent me well, then you do this, and then I'm going to finish pretty quickly. I say this, love our neighbor without excuses. I've got this. I'm going to read through it real quickly. This isn't original with me, but I loved all these excuses so good. I read about them, and I thought, I'm going to tell you. Here's all the excuses that the priests and the Levites would have. This road is too dangerous for me to stop and help the man. Mm-hmm. He might be a decoy for an ambush. You conspiracy theory people. I've got to get to the temple and perform my service for the Lord. I've got to get home and see my family. Someone really should help that man. If I'm going to serve at the temple, I can't get my clothes bloody. I don't know first aid. I told you that one time. I'll pause here real quick. My friend, right, we went to a steak place after church on a Sunday morning. He was a big dude. Now he's since lost a ton of weight. Maybe so the steak will go down. But we were at a steak place, and I've never seen him. So it was a while. The guy's foaming, right? And I'm like, ah! And I go, I don't know the Heimlich, Brent. I don't know the Heimlich. My little wife. Piece of steak comes popping out. My first words, Brent, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know the Heimlich. And so I joke with him every time. You better learn it. You better learn it, right? So that's all he said. So you don't know first aid? You better learn it. You don't know the Bible? You better learn it. I mean, it was life and death for him, right? My little wife, I was like watching her. I think she threw him over a chair or something and then bashed him with the chair. And then, no, but whatever it took, boom, that steak came out. We got excuses, don't we? I loved her. I think he would have died. I know. I said, I don't know the Heimlich. How dumb was that? I'm glad Deb was there. It's a hopeless case. These are more excuses. I'm only one person. The job is too big. I can pray for him. He brought it on himself. Oh, he should never have been alone on such a dangerous road. And now, am I going to risk my? No, I'm not stupid like him. He never asked for help. He was unconscious. I love this. Spurgeon's quoted as saying this, I never knew a man that refuses to help the poor who failed to give at least one admirable excuse. Excuses. We need to love with compassion, care, and coins. We need to love without excuses. But it's this. Here's the summary of the message. Who was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus said, or the man said, the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy, and here's what Jesus said, go and do likewise. You see, this man was finally confronted with, I'm not perfect. When they asked Jesus who could then be saved, he said, with men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I want you to understand this, oh Christian. When we refuse to help people, you know who we're misrepresenting? God. One of the greatest privileges a Christian has is to be an ambassador for Christ. Jesus says this, show mercy on people. Kill the excuses, show mercy on people. I don't know if I've ever seen does anybody know of a Baptist church called Mercy Baptist Church? Never have. You ever seen it? Anybody? That'd be a great name, wouldn't it? Mercy Baptist Church. And people say, well, why did you name yourself? It'd be a great name. Never thought of it until just now. It's spontaneous. Jesus says, go and do likewise. If you're saved this morning, and you say, I know I'm born again, I know there was a time in my life. I'm not worried whether you remember the specific day, but you know this, that you've truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I was talking to a young man this past week, and he was doubting his salvation, and I asked him this. I said, do you want people to be saved? He said, I do. I said, okay. I said, do you want God to be glorified? He said, I do. And again, it's dangerous. I told him I can't really validate whether he's saved or lost. I said, lost people don't care. But I said, the third thing is, you do something about it. I've watched this guy's life. It's just not wanting people to be saved. It's just not wanting God to be glorified is you do something about it. Your doing doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus is saying this. If you truly love me, the only way to truly love God properly is through Christ, because the Bible says you can do nothing good without Jesus. If we truly love him, we will do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments don't give us eternal life, but it's an evidence that you have been saved. Oh, Christian, are you like the lawyer? All you want is the minimum requirement to get to heaven. That doesn't sound like a Christian to me. Maybe you and the Lord need to wrestle. Maybe you need to talk to him and just ask him. Say, Lord, help me today that I will make you my priority, that I will make you my focus. No more excuses. No more excuses. You don't have to come to church at Hope Baptist Church. But I'll tell you, don't waste your life. Any old person here today that says, take it easy, I took Jesus too serious. Any old person here says, I took him too serious, you can just to take a chill pill. Maybe I need to take a chill pill with my personality, but it's not the seriousness of Christ. You understand that? No true old Christian will tell you that. They'll say, I wish I had understood the things of the Bible that I know now. I wish I'd taken Christ more serious. What I regret is my sin. Oh, Christian, don't be like this lawyer. And maybe you're not a Christian. I don't know. If you know for sure you're not saved this morning, that's the first thing you've got to get right. A young lady told me this week, not Julia's friend, and other people with this young lady, so I got to make that clear. I asked her if she knew she was saved, and she said yes. She said, I'm changing things in my life. A lot of people don't know Bible terminology, so I don't know what's going on in her heart. You don't go to heaven by changing your ways. You don't. It's an evidence that God has saved you. You don't make yourself more acceptable to God. The only way to make yourself acceptable to God, if that's even a term, is believing on his Son. Remember that Bible verse? This is the work of God, that you believe on the one that God sent. Good Samaritan. Imagine if we called ourselves Good Samaritan Baptist Church. That'd be a high bar, wouldn't it? Whew. Mercy Baptist would be better. Good Samaritan, I think. Whew. That means it's like this. Whoever comes into our life, we'll help. That'll be our spirit. And maybe there are times you cannot. But I think it ought to be the exception rather than the norm. Let's pray.